Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Liz Myman, and she is the one of the answer line coordinators. She's been doing that for quite a while. Good morning to you, Liz.
Good morning. It's nice to visit with you today.
Well, thank you. And I know, Liz, you've had so many different kinds of questions over the years, and you just sort of have to be a jack of all trades. But today, giving the sun shining once in a while, I'm thinking people are breaking out their grills and they're probably planning some picnics here pretty soon. And maybe we should talk about some reminders for food safety.
Oh, sure. I'm always happy to do that. When we start into the grilling and picnicking season, there's so many opportunities for cross-contamination or improper handling of food that could lead to foodborne illness or, you know, just other safety issues. Probably the biggest one is when you're grilling, be sure and use a fresh plate. You know, take the food out to the grill on one plate and then use a fresh plate to bring the food back in. You don't want to have those raw meat juices cross-contaminating your nicely cooked meat. That's a good way to ruin your day.
And like we're told over and over to keep from getting sick, is wash your hands. And in terms of food, it's maybe wash the counters and rinse the food when appropriate. A whole lot of just cleaning and washing helps us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yep, rinse those vegetables under a lot of running water and give them a good rub. You don't really need to have any sort of special cleaner to wash fruits and vegetables.
Okay. What about fruits and vegetables, taking those to the grill? Okay, if we've cleaned them, and beyond that, we probably don't have to do too much, worry too much about the fresh things.
No, you just want to keep them away from the meats or the raw meat juices. Don't load them on the plate. And if you have a kebab where you have vegetables and meat on it, that's okay. But again, you know, different plate to take it to the grill, different plate to bring it back in.
Liz, how important is it to know what temperature that final meat, you know, and get ready to take it off and get ready to serve it? How important is knowing the temperature of that cooked product, that grilled product?
It's really important. We like to think that we can tell by the texture of food or if the juices are running clear, but you really need to know that you reach those temperatures like 165 degrees for ground meat so that you can be sure that bacteria that could be present are killed so that you aren't sick, you know, the rest of the week.
Yeah. And really a thermometer, just one of those you can just stick into your meat, maybe kind of sideways if you got a patty. They're not all that expensive.
They're really not very expensive. Quite often you can pick it up at the grocery store. You do need to be aware that those little instant read thermometers, they have a little dimple on the stem, and you need to insert the thermometer clear up to that dimple and maybe just a smidge past so that it's actually reading accurately.
Okay, good. Now, when we look at a thermometer or just read any guidelines, the internal temperature is different for ground beef than it is for a steak. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, ground beef has so much more surface area. You know, a steak, you just have the top and the bottom and the sides, but ground beef being ground, so much of that and what it would be on the interior of a burger is also exposed to potential bacteria. So we want to be even more careful with those ground things.
Okay, so a rare hamburger might give us some problems versus a rare steak would probably be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's good to know that difference. Now let's talk a little bit about pork, because there's so many good things we can put on the grill with pork. And I think most people now know, but maybe not everybody, that you don't have to cook that pork till it's absolutely dried out.
Right. We're now using 145 for the temperature for pork.
So
it could, a pork chop or a pork loin.
So it could still maybe be a teeny tiny bit pink, but it's still going to be juicy in terms of it's not going to be all dried up. Yes. Again, that temperature. It's just
correct.
Yes.
Right.
And what about chicken? That's a popular thing on the grill. Any particular things you want to mention about chicken?
Yep. Chicken would be 165. You want to not wash poultry. I know for many years that was the thing to do, to rinse that poultry in the sink. The issue is that if water splashes and it tends to splash more than we think it does. Bacteria could be splashed all over your kitchen, and you might be then cutting some fruit or vegetables to go with whatever you're grilling, and you could then get those meat juices onto something that you're not going to cook.
Okay.
So we want to be real careful, and if you cook the chicken to 165 degrees, you should be fine.
Okay.
So use that thermometer.
Yeah, we want it tasty, but we certainly also want it safe. We don't want to be responsible for making mm-hmm. ourselves or others sick. Now, you know, when you talk about food poisoning, you talk to people and they say, I ate something bad and I don't know, but my friends didn't get sick and they ate the same thing. How does food poisoning, and I know that's a real general statement because there are a lot of different kinds, but why is it different for different folks?
Well, different folks' immune systems are stronger. So what we say is that the very young, and I think of my grandchildren, or the elderly, or people with a compromised immune system, somebody that's fighting a disease, and in this day and age, if you know someone that's, you know, fighting cancer, that would be someone with a compromised immune system, and of course, pregnant people. So, you know, a lot of those people are the ones we hold near and dear in our hearts, but they are also the most susceptible to becoming ill from exposure to these bacteria that cause foodborne illness.
Mm-hmm. And also, don't people respond in different timelines? I mean, if you and I ate the same thing, I might get sick immediately and you might not get sick for several days.
That's true. And it also depends on the dose, you know, the amount
yes.
of bacteria that you've consumed.
Well, we all need to be careful for all of us. I know we use the term rocket science. It's not really that difficult. I go back to those rules I learned a long time. Keep it clean, keep it cold, or mm-hmm. keep it hot, depending on what it is we're serving.
And keep it separate. And the thing I was thinking of, too, is that we want to think that it's the very last thing that we ate that made us sick.
Mm.
Well, some things take a few days. And so that's why it's a little bit hard sometimes for them to track outbreaks, because it wasn't the very last thing somebody ate. You know, it could have been 2 or 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm. So if we need more information about food safety in general, what are some sources that you would recommend that are pretty simple to find, Liz?
Foodsafety.gov, but of course, call us at Answer Line.
Mm-hmm. And that number is
1-800-262-3804. And you could also email us at answer@iastate.edu. But either way, we'd love to help people and answer their questions for them.
And what hours are you there?
We are here from 9 until noon, 1 until 4, Monday through Friday. We will not be here on Memorial Day, the holiday, but other than that, we're here weekdays.
Okay, good. And again, you answer all kinds of questions, maybe not livestock questions, more family, home, those kinds of questions?
Things in and around the home,
okay.
The old area of home economics. But we can get somebody to where they can get the answer,
okay.
You know, if it's something we don't specialize in.
Okay. Because I'm guessing you also maybe sometimes get some horticulture questions that you think, well, maybe you can answer
we
those
do.
And maybe you want to refer them, but there's lots of places to refer to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There are.
And I want to just, we've been talking about grilling and picnicking. Let's just talk a little bit, although we're maybe a bit early for the season, about canning, because I think that there are some younger people out there that are interested in canning, and then there's some folks who used to can and now they're going to do that again. What are some of the kind of the flags and things you want to put up to say, okay, if you're going to be canning food, preserving it by canning, here are some things that you just kind of need to check on?
Well, the most important thing is to use a safe, scientifically tested recipe, and you'll find those from extension websites. The University of Georgia has a fabulous website that is the National Center for Home Food Preservation, and they also have a cookbook that's a real handy thing to have around the kitchen.
Okay. Don't make up your own recipes. And
can't be creative. If you want to be creative, make something and serve it immediately. But canning recipes need to be followed as written, and adjustments need to be made for altitude, because believe it or not, we do have in Iowa some altitude changes.
Okay. So again, your extension, ISU Extension, is a great place to go to learn about, go on the line. And answer line again. We want to thank you very much, Liz Myman, for visiting with us today and just kind of reminding us some things that we all should know. Until next time, here's a thought. Food is our common ground, a universal experience. Everywhere around the world, people get together to eat.